Hello, this is your host, Aaron Parker. Hello, this is your host, Aaron Parker, with your co-host, Scott Coleman. Married to Change Radio presents The Golden Meme, which is the title of our show. And this week's particular topic is going to be maintaining your divinity. Right now, we have a lot of current events going on that may have some people shaking and stirred a little bit, maybe confused or frantic. And we want to explain how these things actually spiritually integrate into our current timeline.
Definitely.
Charles, are you there?
And we kind of want to touch on the bigger picture as far as this is concerned, who we are in the midst of all the perceived chaos and turmoil, and who these quote-unquote others are. So we will get down and try to get to the core of all of this, and I want y'all to feel free to call in. And
yeah, feel free to call
in. Any questions or concerns?
I just want to give out the call-in number real quick. The call-in number is 718-305-6480. I say it again. It's 718-305-6480. And you could call in to listen to the show, or you could call in to speak your mind on the show. We want to hear from you. Go ahead, Charles.
Okay, and I just wanted to say that to a lot of people, and maybe not a lot of people listening here, but, just to a lot of people, this is a very unnerving time. It's causing a lot of anxiety, and it's making people take a deeper look at themselves. And I think that's always a good thing because it's part of that transition period. There's always these birth pains before the birth itself, and we are birthing a new consciousness, or at least a new understanding of our role in this universe and in this reality. So just hang on and understand there is a bigger picture at play. So yeah, that's all I wanted to get at right now is going through these individual events and seeing them as a whole, and seeing how we create our own enemies. And everything we see in the world now is a projection of our own mental state.
Absolutely.
And we change that from within. We change the outside world from within. It doesn't happen the other way around, in the beginning at least. Generally, it doesn't happen the other way around. But once we become aware, we see the interplay of the microcosm and macrocosm, and we understand that it's not changing us, but it's actually giving us a broader perspective of who we are and the role we play in this thing.
And it's important to note that right now there are a lot of seemingly chaotic events going on. I mean, we have riots and protests. It seems like racism has taken us backwards as a country. We have global conflicts. We have international issues. We have monetary issues. I mean, it seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong. Like Murphy's Law is in full effect, and we want to discuss how that shapes us as a society, what the purpose of some of these things are. And then there's also the concept that me and Charles were discussing this the other day, God and the devil, and what the purpose of the devil actually is. And I'll share scripture to back that up later on in the show. But go ahead, Charles.
No, and I just wanted to kind of build on that and say that these scriptural books, whether it's the Bible, the Quran, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, and even the Tao, it's all a reflection on us. I mean, these are outward stories, but they tell an inward story. And if you're not aware of that inward story, you're only getting part of the picture. And even then, to literalize that is giving us a dis- distorted part of that picture. So we want to be aware, and we want to tie it in with a lot of the things that our ancestors and our forefathers that talked about in these writings, and would like to again get input from the listeners. And I know there are people out there that can build on this topic as well. So really, the more perspectives we get, the more we're able to kind of shed a light on the thing. And so, and this is the purpose of the show, to kind of shed lights in these dark corners so we find out there's no need to really be afraid.
And, I mean, what I was speaking on just a minute ago, it's in Isaiah 4, 5, and 7 in the King James Version. It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Wait a minute. Let's go back. I make peace and create evil? But doesn't God hate evil? Or isn't sin evil and God hates it? And so God is saying, these are the words in the Bible. This is not me, people. This is, I make peace and create evil. Why would God create evil? And we're going to discuss that because that's important. And it's not facetious, or it's not a bad thing. We're going to make it make sense.
Definitely, definitely. And we got to understand, again, and we kind of touch on this every show, or at least I kind of make a point to kind of touch on it on every show. When we're dealing with the Garden of Eden, the story of the Garden of Eden, and we understand that due to the consumption of the symbolic fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's that word again, that word evil, but due to that, we understand that that was the jumping off point of man's fall, or man's expulsion from Eden or from paradise. So it only would stand to reason that if we find out what that was or what that symbolized, you know, it could cause a return to that garden or that paradise. And then that's where the tree of life comes in. So it all ties in, and especially today where basically mankind is fighting its shadows. So this is how turmoil presents itself in the world. When we explore our inner demons and we expose them, we shine light on them, that is the wars that we hear about in the spiritual books. That is Armageddon. That is, that's it. This is what we've been kind of, I guess, dreading and awaiting for thousands and thousands of years. There's this time where we expose our own demons and understand that once these things hit the light, they're no longer scary. They're no longer these monsters that we create in our mind. They're there to be incorporated and be dealt with, and we can only do that once we shine a light on those things. So, so we're ready to shine the light. The time is here.
And the time is now. And so, as I was saying earlier, you know, why would an all-loving, all-powerful, peace-loving God create evil? I want to elaborate on that. What would creating peace and evil do? It would split yourself into two, which would create duality. So then you have light and darkness. And he says, I form the light and create darkness. And the thing about light and darkness is they respect each other. You know, the night never tries to override the day and vice versa. Us as humans haven't taken the example of light and darkness, and we have a constant conflict between the light and darkness within. We don't give room to the night within ourselves. And so in order to... And God saying, I make peace and create evil. Evil is created. You don't know good without bad. And Charles, you want to elaborate on that? Because we was discussing that the other day.
Yeah, and again, it still comes down to our judgments too. And let's understand, or at least get a basic understanding of what the concept of God is. And we understand, again, from the Bible, since that's what most of us are relatively familiar with, that God existed. And when I say God, I'm speaking of force, and I like to kind of use a term that I got from a book called The Metuna Ter, energy / matter, consciousness / will, as a, I guess, you know, bad term, but a definition or an understanding of God. Okay, we have to understand that God predates time, God predates space, God predates our ideas of good and evil. And once we understand that, we can answer a lot of these questions that people have concerning the idea of God and starving children and sick people and all of these things. This is all God. Everything is God. And so I know that challenges a lot of the ideas that we have about, you know, some people may have about the old man with the beard and the finger pointing at Adam or whatever. But once we understand the entire concept of God is, you know, we begin to see things in a different perspective. Okay, there are things, and good and evil is a human precept. It's a human mental creation. And basically the way it works is good is that stuff that we agree with, and I may not agree with the same thing my neighbor agrees with, and evil is that thing we disagree with, that thing that we feel compelled to fight against.
Evil is, you know, another easy way to put it is good is the things that make us feel, you know, we vibrate towards, and evil is what makes us feel uncomfortable or what we don't prefer.
But I will kind of interject a little bit, too, is we've kind of taken that and we've basically changed the meaning a little bit or reclassified, because especially within a lot of our religion and political affiliations or identities, we find that the things that we call good are actually the things that sometimes make us feel worse. And then we're taught that our feelings...
Go ahead.
Yeah, then we're taught that our feelings, which is probably the thing that's closest to pure God within the human, we're told that these aren't things that we should be listening to. These aren't our guides. They shouldn't be our guides. But again, unless a person has a mental illness, psychopathy or sociopathy, you know, something along those lines, your feelings are to be your guide. And I know that flies into the face of society, because when we do it on a societal level, we tend to automatically assume that the things that make us feel good are the things that we shouldn't be doing, or the things that we should shy away from. Okay.
And on top of that, I mean, right now, what you have is you have people who have been conditioned socially or from birth to label what is good and bad based on society perception. So the majority of people say, oh, this is bad. Let's look at it like this. People will say, okay, Islam is bad. And they'll keep repeating, Islam is bad, Islam is bad, Islam is bad. And eventually your psyche equates Islam to bad. So an Islamic person can commit the same crime as a Christian person, but then it becomes a terrorist act to you. For instance, a Christian person can rob somebody at gunpoint, and you'll be like, oh, they're a thief. And an Islamic person can rob somebody at gunpoint, oh, they're a terrorist. You know, and so this is how we are socially conditioned. We're socially conditioned by repetition. And right now, throughout society, we have to find our own definitions of what is considered good and what is considered evil. And us as humans, we actually choose the good and evil reasoning. We use that to kind of help us grow, and kind of give us a road or a guideline on how to operate. It's kind of like a railway, like a train track that we're on, where we try to stay between the lines of good and evil and try to find balance, and so we don't derail to either side or either extreme. And so it's kind of how we make sense of the world around us. Us humans love order, and our love for order is what creates chaos, because we try to control circumstances that are out of our control. And I'm going to call in for a commercial break. And I want to thank you for listening to the Golden Meme. And see you after break.
Married to Change Radio.
This is Aaron Parker with your co-host, Charles Coleman, and we want to welcome you back to the Golden Mean, sponsored by Married to Change Radio. And we were talking about maintaining your divinity before the break. And basically, where I left off was how us humans, we try to create order based on how we feel. And it's our desire for order that makes it more strenuous to integrate into the world. Us humans have a hard time assimilating into anything. We judge each other by culture, race, religion, creed, idea, political affiliation. And then we break it down even further to judging our environment based on its climate, and we're just off the chain when it comes to creating different precepts. We don't assimilate well, and that's a problem, because positive assimilation is global togetherness. It's how we come into oneness, accepting our differences and moving into oneness. But there are small pockets or small groups of people with a lot of influence that control information that keeps us divided. And it's only information. It's not as powerful as people think. It's just information. You control the mind, you control the body. And so a lot of effort, a lot of finances, and a lot of information is put out. A lot of time is spent trying to herd the human mind or the human consciousness in a certain direction, almost as if indirectly steering you. Kind of like that off suggestion, like, hey, we should go over here, or what have you. So, and I'm catching a little interference in the background there. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
And
no. But you got
go
anything
ahead.
To say? Oh, okay. All right. And so one of the things I want to discuss is what to do in that situation. Like, for instance, I found that lately I've been focused on the riots. Personally, it sucked me in. And I've been focused on I've been actually allowing more information into myself from these sources that thrive on misinformation or partial information. And it's been making me feel kind of depressed, kind of lethargic, kind of nihilistic, uncomfortable. And I realized that's because I'm not feeding my soul. I'm feeding my fears. I'm feeding my flesh. I'm feeding my animal side. It's almost to the point where it's making me, the very thing that I'm against. Since it's like spiritual junk food, basically. It's like feeding your spirit Burger King and McDonald's and Jack in the Box and Carl's Jr. because you're not, or it's like pouring dirty water into yourself, into mm-hmm. or recycling old oil in an engine. You're completely processing filth. And so I find that reading to feed my soul helps me. Reading information that raises my vibration, reading information that feels good, and closing myself off to the media and really finding my voice.
Mm-hmm. And it all plays a role. And the thing is that we are in the material world. It's a world of contrast. It's a world where we derive information through a comparison and contrast with other things that we know. And so it's the purpose of this dimension we're in right now. This is a remembering dimension, and our purpose here is to remember our divinity. Okay, we can only do that in context of this contrast. We need to see things and hear things, or at least be aware of things that go against that divine nature or that don't help to express openly that divine nature. And so, again, this is getting back to what Aaron was talking about with good and evil. This is how that works together. These things that we call evil just provide, I'll put it this way, if there was no darkness, light would blind you, and if there was no light, darkness would blind you. Either way, you're blind. So we need that contrast in order to make out shapes and different bodies and different things that we determine or that we call sight. Because without one or the other, there is no contrast. Without contrast, there is no vision. And without vision, there's only blindness.
And, there's a lot of spiritual people or, the New Age, or they call it, or the light people, where they disregard that there is malicious intent. There are people with malicious intent that are in positions of control or positions of power that do not desire a positive outcome. That does exist. And, a lot of spiritual outlets try to say, you got to raise your vibration and be above that and ignore that, and it'll go away. That's not necessarily true.
Okay. Quick, let me interject real quick. It's not about ignoring it. And that's the thing is that just like the verse you said, that God creates good and evil. And mm-hmm. again, it's not about ignoring it or about, you must acknowledge it, because without acknowledging it, you wouldn't know who you are. You wouldn't know who you in this particular reality, where you fit on that. How would I put it? Within that paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
So even this, all of this is working together. All of this works together to advance us as humans spiritually.
And that's what I think needs to be elaborated on more, is how it works together. Because a lot of people, they're like, well, yeah, we hear that it all works together for our spiritual good, but it sucks and it feels bad. Like, we don't like, you know, what's happening. We don't feel good about, you know, when we hear about things, for instance, the Illuminati or the New World Order or these different ideologies. People don't feel good when they hear this stuff. They don't get a warm and fuzzy.
Okay.
You know?
Well, yeah,
why is this stuff? Yeah, let's elaborate on the purpose of this stuff, because I think that's what a lot of spiritual communities they don't want to hit this head on, you know?
Right. Okay, let's use that age-old, let's use the idea of God and the devil. Okay, mm-hmm. we're told that, you know, God has all power, but we're also told that the devil is an adversary of God. Okay, literally, mm-hmm. it makes no sense. Literally, if you have all the power, what is there? What is there to oppose you? Nothing. You have all the power. Okay, and this is just like what we're seeing in our reality today, is we are the ones who give power over to these negative ideas, to these negative quote-unquote entities or whatever. In every wave, there's a peak and a valley. If there were all peaks, there wouldn't be a wave. If there were all valleys, there wouldn't be a wave. Reality is wave-based. It's energy. And there are these peaks and valleys. Okay, in this particular dimension, we're dealing with both peaks and valleys on a regular basis. We have to understand that every quote-unquote evil thing that happens in our reality is to remind us who we really are. Everything that we call evil, everything that we see, and like Aaron says, it makes us feel ill, it makes us feel bad. We have to understand.
And I think that when God said, I create both good and I create peace and evil, which King James Version, when God said, I create peace and evil, you have to understand that, like I said, you can't know hot without cold, and you can't know good without bad. And so why would God create evil in the sense of, what would be the purpose of that? Why would God do that? This is what God says he did, but why would he do that? And it's for our spiritual development and our growth. And
okay.
this is a whole different topic, because it's really intense. So I may actually do an entire show on this topic alone. But for now, I just want to highlight the important parts of why God would create good and evil. Well, it's like when you work out. You go to the gym and you're out of shape. You're flabby. And so you go in there for the first time and you're lifting weights and you're running and you're tired. Your chest hurts. Your back hurts. Your knees hurt. And you're thinking, man, I ain't going back in there no more. It sucks. But you keep going and you keep going, and it gets easier and easier and easier. And you keep pushing yourself to the next level. And then within a year or so, you look in the mirror and you see everything you wanted to see. And this is how mm-hmm. we develop as an entire consciousness, as a people, as a society. We develop through conditioning. And so what we call evil or social conditioning is actually creating or developing a being that becomes more fit. For instance, a lot of people say, under Obama, there's so much going on. He's so corrupt. Everything that's happened in his presidency has been happening between now and before, is we see it, which means that we are starting to wake up. And so it looks messy, like, oh, the economy's messed up, there's wars all over the place, black and white people are fighting, you know, the Mexicans are taking all the jobs, all these different assumptions and stereotypes. You got the Tea Party. You got all this drama going on. But this stuff has been going on. It's just that it was status quo at one point, and it was hidden from the people. The people didn't see all of this happening because they were jaded by who was in charge.
Yeah, they now, were in this us-them. I said they were in this us-them paradigm. And if you look at the president as a us, then you have a way of kind of glossing over everything that's happening in the world because one of us is in charge. It's all right, no matter what. I can look at the guy in charge, that's who it is, the guy in charge, and say, hey, he's one of us. So everything's going to be all right.
No.
And oversimplification.
I do want to continue this, but we're running into our break.
Okay.
But when we come back, I want you to be fresh on this, please.
No doubt.
Parker with the co-host Charles Coleman, Married to Change presents the Golden Mean, and we actually had a question in the chat room, but I want Charles to go ahead and elaborate on what he was discussing prior to the break. But we had a question, if you want to chime in on that as well, what about free will? That was one of the questions in the chat room. So,
okay, we'll do. Okay, when we look at good and evil, we have to understand that good and evil are expressions of our two base emotions, love and fear. This is all it is. We're just giving it different words. People act out of fear and they do evil. People act out of love and they do what we call good. Okay, free will is simply our ability to choose either love or fear. Everything we do is an expression of one or the other. And our spiritual evolution is based on how freely we act out of love to one another, to everything around us, to the entire universe, to all of creation. The more spiritually we evolve, the more we act in love. And we do it without thinking. It's our primary nature, and it's to become our primary nature. Okay, we see things happening in the world, and they create fear for a lot of us. Okay, and this is getting back. It's not about ignoring these so-called negative things. It's about understanding that there's part of humanity that's still in fear. And for the most part, they have power because fear seeks power. Fear seeks the ability to control others. In true love, there is no control. There is no power. You know, we understand that people are as they are, and which is
why we're a fear-based consciousness. Right now, I'd say the vast majority of our planet operates on a fear-based consciousness.
Yeah, fewer and fewer, but true.
I'm sorry?
Oh, I said fewer and fewer, but that's true. It seems
yes.
as though, yeah, it definitely seems as though we're pushing from the middle to the two extremes.
We need to highlight the symptoms of fear. What are symptoms of fear? Racism. Racism is a symptom of fear. Segregation, separation is a symptom of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, judgment is a symptom of fear.
Yes.
And one of the biggest issues that we face today, it seems, is the rise in just overt racism. You know, it seemed like the world was coming together, but as the fear doctrine is being pushed, it seems like we're going backwards in the essence that we're seeing each other more and more as different. Or as separate, because fear is separation.
And I'd say even more than just racism, I want to say xenophobia in general. I mean, me and you, we're probably in a position to see a lot of that xenophobia as racism, because that's how it appears to us. That's how it comes into our world. But there is sexism, there is homophobia, there's all these other things that are similar in the way that people react to one another. It may be a little different the way it's institutionalized, but it's still xenophobia, whether it's on a personal level or whether it's on a society mass level. So, yeah, go ahead. I just wanted to kind of interject that in.
Oh, no, that's fine. And the thing is, we don't even consider the things that make us similar. What brings us all together? The earth, air, water, everything on this planet that lives, from a tree to a bug to a roach to a rhinoceros to an elephant, they all need air, earth, and water. And we completely disregard the things that bring us together to the bare basic elements, and we focus more on the things that separate us, and that is a symptom of a fear-based consciousness.
It is.
And so, Charles, we were talking, and you was telling me how God can use fear. I wanted you to elaborate that.
Okay. Well, God uses evil in the sense that it pushes those who repel it towards good. It kind of creates, what it does is it creates a more consciously loving individual, because we see the things that repel us and we want to move away from that. Our nature, in a sense, or our conditioning is to move away from that, move away from suffering, move away from the things that make us feel bad. But God uses that in the sense that it's all about contrast, and contrast is what allows us to grow. We see things, and then going back into the free will, we see things and we choose a different path, or we choose to move along the path that we're on. So it's a motivator in a sense. And from the God perspective, is God's how do I want to say it, his God's purpose is to know itself as God. And by doing so, through us and through the creation, it had to create something that was perceived as not God. So we're tools, basically. We're tools of learning for God. We are elements that allow God experience in this material reality, where there is time and there is separation, because in ultimate reality, there's no time, there's no separation, any of these things. But in order to experience itself as God, it had to create these things. It had to create a great forgetting and come in to reality with the consciousness that it was not God, that it was actually separate from God. And this is why we hold that consciousness now. This is why our institutions have created that, simply for us to not see ourselves as God, to see ourselves as separate from God. That way we can have an idea of what God was through our day-to-day, through our day-to-day lives. So I hope I didn't confuse anyone with that, but if we understand that God is all things, we have to understand that God is within us and God is also within, quote-unquote, them. So the thems that we see as our enemies, that we see as evil, and understand, nobody, unless they're mentally ill, nobody sees themselves as evil. Okay, and the people that are in the groups that you are not in, you know, if you're a Democrat, the Republicans, if you're a conservative, the liberals, these people we demonize, understand that they see themselves as good, just as good as you see yourself. But we have to create this illusion that they are evil in order for us to feel good about our own existence and about where we are spiritually. So that's kind of what I wanted to get at, is that we have to be aware of all of these groups that we demonize, or these individuals that we demonize, and understand that they have just as much divinity as we do. Sometimes they may be acting out of fear. You know, and again, fear creates the idea of wanting to control or wanting to attack or wanting to, quote unquote, defend yourself. You know, even as nations, you have nations that have, quote unquote, defense budgets, but they're always going to these other nations and having issues. So it's like me going into Aaron's house and attacking him, saying I'm defending myself. So it's an illusion. It's an illusion that we created, but we created it for a purpose. We created it for the purpose of consciously growing our consciousness. So the journey wouldn't be valuable if we didn't take note of it, if we couldn't remember it, if we couldn't be aware of it. And so this is what life is. It's being aware of this journey from God to God. And like we say in the opening of the show, from the one to the many and back to the one. If we weren't conscious of it, there would be no purpose to it. So I can toss it back to you, Aaron. You still there, or did I lose the connection? Hey, hey, we here.
Okay.
Do the intro.
All right, sorry about that, y'all. I got temporarily disconnected. It was a little technical difficulty on my end, but I am back. Married to Change Radio presents The Golden Mean with your host, Aaron Parker, your co-host, Charles Coleman. And we are back for break, and we're going to get ready to wrap this up because, I mean, this is a strong topic, and it definitely takes more than an hour to really elaborate on it. But what are some of the things that we can do now to help balance ourselves while we're going through this transition of a lot of the things that are perceived negative? What can we do right now to help us to live a decent life, a comfortable life? One of the things I mentioned earlier was read to feed your soul. You want to make sure that you're reading materials that help you. You want to balance. You know, same thing with listening to music. If you're listening to angry music all day, it's going to play a role in your psyche. You want to make sure that you're listening to something calm. Like me, I turn to trance or techno, but like really soft techno. I don't like the hard stuff, which is trance anyway. Or I'll turn to meditation music with no words. It's just the sounds. And I'll let that run in the background while I clean up or while I wash dishes or what have you. That way I'm subconsciously pulling into my psyche something living. Because what fear creates is artificial stimulation. Fear creates things that shock the system. It's almost like drugs. You know, the receptors in your brain get used to the drugs, and so your body craves the high. Well, fear gives us a negative high where we get used to feeling like crap, feeling bad. We get used to being angry or being cynical, and it becomes an addiction. So we start to look for more fear. We get on the news, and we're like, oh, what's going on in the world now? What's Obama doing? Let's get on YouTube and see what the Illuminati's doing. All the vaccines, all the chemtrails, and Alex Jones. And you go into a death spiral of looking for negativity to consume, because just like junk food, it is spiritual junk food, and it is just as addicting. You have to balance that out. Just like you can't eat McDonald's every single day of your life, you can't eat that stuff every single day of your life spiritually. You have to sometimes have some fruit and vegetables. Every now and then, you got to look at a cute puppy on Facebook and smile. Every now and then, you got to play some meditation music. Every now and then, you got to read a book that's not, you know, the government's out to get you or what have you. And they may very well have plans. And the thing about humans is we make tons of plans. There may very well be real, logical, seriously non-conspiracy plans to do a lot of the stuff that you believe they want to do. They may want to put people in FEMA camps. They may want to, you know, they may want to, you know, put microchips in people. They may want to do these things. But that doesn't mean that it's going to happen. In history, there's been tons of things that people in charge have wanted to do to maintain their illusion of power that have not been fulfilled. But in the meantime, you can't drive yourself crazy, can't run yourself ragged trying to, you know, oh, I'm going to buy a bunch of food and prepare and get water. I mean, preparation is always nice. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So that's a good thing. I mean, it's always cool to be prepared because it gives you a peace of mind. But at the same time, you can't let them have that much space in your mind, in your consciousness, to where they dominate it. You have to make peace with yourself and find peace. And even if they do kick off their plan, even if they do start rounding people up for FEMA camps, what is panicking going to do? What is screaming from the rooftops going to do? At the end of the day, you have to be able to hear your spirit speaking to you, because it'll lead you to safety. Your internal spirit, in the Bible they call it the Holy Spirit, or your guide, it will lead you to safety. It will lead you into the circumstances that are necessary for your preservation, if the preservation is meant to be by the divine. And so you don't have to be afraid, because even if it does happen, it doesn't have to happen to you. Anything you want to say, Charles?
I just wanted to say that and we have to understand, okay, you were talking about the things that we do to stay prepared. I can't push this enough. Meditate. I listen to, among other types of music, world music, I also listen to classical music. I listen to things that vibrate at a level that makes me feel more like myself. And I'll get, like today, I was running around today, I was just a little spent. And I had to take a minute to just relax, take a few deep breaths, do a mini meditation, and I came back to myself, because usually I'm very even-tempered emotionally and all of this, but every now and then, you know, there's sometimes where you get a little high-strung. And for me, you know, it might not be a lot compared to a lot of people or whatever, but for me, it's out of my element. So I had to slow down. I was taking on too many people's emotions. And I've always been an empath. And I've, through the years, and I'm almost 50 years old, I've learned to kind of control it. But every now and then it'll kind of, you know, kind of weigh on me. And so I have to take a break, take a few deep breaths, close my eyes, and allow it to pass. Allow myself to stop focusing on it, and that's the whole thing.
One of the things that we're socially conditioned to do is dwell on turmoil. For instance, if something bad has happened to us in our childhood, or something bad has happened to us in society, we dwell on it and we define ourselves through our pain. We say, oh, I'm a victim of this, or I'm a victim. No, you are. I am Aaron Parker. I am what I choose to be. And we define ourselves through our pain, and we even introduce ourselves through our pain. You know, we come off, as soon as we meet somebody, we start telling our story of, yeah, you know, I went through this and that, and I went through this and that. And that almost is like a term, like a status of endearment of how much chaos you've endured. And that's because this is how we define ourselves in society, is how much crap we can take, because we dwell. We have to change our consciousness and revert our mind from dwelling. The key to maintaining peace during chaos is turn fear into love and helplessness into empowerment. We need to learn how to transmute these energies, these negative energies. We have to learn how to transmute them. You know, you're not gonna love violence and poverty. Nobody is like, man, I love me some violence and poverty. But we can love the present moment. We can remind ourselves the universe works in mysterious ways, and we may not understand why there's violence and problems and poverty on every level, but there is a reason for it. Just like there's a reason for the cockroach, which sucks when it's in your house. When you have a termites, there's a reason for termites. There's a reason for rats. I mean, the things that we don't like, there's a reason for houseflies. We don't, you know, at the time when we're bothered by them, we don't really like it, but they're here for a reason, you know. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's life. No, I was just going to say, it's life. It's all a part of this whole thing. And when you can see God in that rat or that cockroach, then you're where you need to be, you know. But what we go through now is we'll separate these things out. We can't see the whole picture for the most part. And the process of awakening again is being able to see that bigger picture. And I just didn't mean to cut you off, but it's just about seeing that bigger picture. And so look for the bigger picture. If I have bit of advice, go ahead.
And one of the things that you have to remember is all of us have had an instance where we felt really good about something. We felt excited and happy. We were either helping somebody. Maybe when you gave that homeless guy a dollar, you just felt really good that you did that. Or we did something for someone else and we felt good. That feeling is how we're supposed to feel all the time. That is who we are. That is our highest joy. That is who we are on the regular. The problem is that we have created this surrogate us that feels crappy, lethargic, lazy, nihilistic, beat down, defeated. That is not who we are. Who we are is that highest joy. And the thing is, we feed into our negativity so much that we don't know how to get to that place of comfort, that place of peace. And some people try to externalize it and say, well, I find peace in God, but really they don't. They'll spew a bunch of scriptures, and but it's bitter scriptures, like the Lord is my sentry and my avenger, my sword and my shield, and they're saying it aggressively because they feel attacked. If you have true peace, then it comes out in your, it comes out in the way you speak, it comes out in the way you carry yourself. It presents itself as grace. And we've all come across somebody that who is so laid back and so graceful, and just being in their presence just makes us chill, like, man, the person is just comfortable. That's what we want to strive to be. We have an entire lifetime to do that.
Mm-hmm. And here's something else. Charles. The next time, I was going to say, my last thought, the next time you feel bad, do something good for somebody else. And you will come out quickly. Yeah. Next time you feel good, do something good for somebody else, and the whole world will change. Okay.
It looks like we're wrapping up now. We want to thank you all for listening to the Golden Mean Change Radio, and we hope to tune in next week where we'll be discussing a new topic. We kind of come up with the topics on the whim based off what the world is doing because we want to keep our information relevant and useful for today's events. And so just stay tuned for what's next.
All right, and check our Facebook pages, Aaron Parker and Charles Coleman, and we'll probably have some updates up and some other information.
And every week we'll continue to get better and better and better because we're constantly striving to give you guys good, clean, clear information to help you. This isn't just about us. This is about you, honestly.
All right. This is Charles Coleman and Aaron Parker. The Married to Change Radio, and this was the Golden Mean. Thank you for listening and adding to the show.
And we are out.
The return to yourself, the return to innocence.